Just a closer walk with Thee.
I'd like to welcome everyone to church. You glad to be in church tonight on a Wednesday night? Amen. Brother Louie called us and he's down on his back, so we want to remember to pray for him. Let's all stand together as we begin the service. We'll sing a couple of verses of that. Does that seem too high? Oh, I am weak, but Thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Thou satisfied as long.
Oh God.
Hallelujah. I trust that's the prayer of your heart this evening, is a closer walk with Him. Why don't you go ahead and you can be seated and have Brother Jimmy Babb to come up and read our prayer request this evening. And I think he's got a little report he wants to give us too.
Before I read these prayer requests, the Swafford family that attends here got a call right before church. It was snowing very heavy. They live up around the Watauga Lake area, and whoever called them advised them to get home quick, so they asked that we remember them in prayer. They had to leave, so remember them. This request is, I think, from Brother Brett Lawson. I want to request prayer for the family of Roy Sales. He was a co-worker and close friend of my dad. He was found dead in his home Sunday morning from a heart attack. They are having his funeral tonight. Thank you and God bless. I want us to remember this man's family, so let's remember that. Brother Brandon Green, a music teacher friend in West Virginia, has stage 4 cancer. According to the doctor, there is little that they can do to help. I believe and have witnessed God's healing power. Please help in prayer for him and his family during this time. So let's remember this man. Remember Brother Homer Longoria. He's having eye surgery. Also, Sister Margie, his wife, is not doing well. So let's remember Brother Homer and his wife tonight in prayer. Brother Danny Barclay asked us to pray for Leela Jean, who has very low platelets. And the doctor said this was in his mother's genes, but they're thanking the Lord for his healing power. Also, a sister, Virgie Chase, she has bone cancer. And she said that she's not going to accept this. So let's pray for this sister also. Sister Deanna Glenn wants prayer for her dad, Lloyd Taylor. He's almost 93 years old. His heart is deteriorating more with a leaking valve. I will be flying to Ohio Sunday morning. And she wants to thank the Lord also providing the means for this round-trip flight so that Brother Jerry didn't have to make the round-trip driving. So let's remember Sister Deanna's father as she goes to be with him. Brother Tracy still asking for prayer, has many needs in his body, so let's remember him tonight. Sister Michelle Swafford turns in a prayer request for Penelope Luna, who has kidney disease, for Shelton Woods, and for Edith Potter, who both are near death, and ask God to just be with them and their families during this time. Also, Brother Junior Davis, he had chemo again, I think, this Monday. And a lot of times after this, the first day or two, it doesn't do well. He's not feeling well. So remember Brother Junior in prayer tonight also. Please pray for Sister Lisa Smith and her family. Their desires to find a home church. They currently stream all of our services. That's turned in by Sister Lisa Riddleball. So let's remember that request. This is a prayer request turned in by Brother Joel King. I think his wife has an acquaintance with some folks that she maybe deals with in a business. And it's for a one-year-old child by the name of Arian that has leukemia. And, of course, the family, I'm sure, is devastated. So let's remember this young child and his family as they go through this, knowing that God can heal, absolutely can heal. Brother Daniel Morangelo from Jonesville, Virginia, requests prayer for his wife, Connie. She recently had open-heart surgery, is now experiencing heart failure and kidney problems. So she's in Houston Valley Hospital. He attends Brother Homer Blanken's church in Virginia, so let's remember that family. Please pray for my sister, Deanna Mize. She has RLS, and her legs have been hurting her really bad. And nothing seems to help her, so they request prayer. That's from a sister, Cheyenne Sumner. Sister Joanne Tessa wants to thank the church family for the prayers, the cards, the calls, and the beautiful fruit basket. But most of all, I want to thank Jesus for touching and healing me. And the Lord bless you all. So we're glad that Sister Tessa is in service with us tonight. I'm very glad to read this one too. My son Scotty even wants to thank the church, most of all to thank God for his mighty hand of protection to his wife Felicia, daughters Ashley and Courtney, who were involved in a head-on collision this Monday morning. Both vehicles were totaled. They had to cut the top of Brother Scotty's car off to get the girls out. And it was a pretty bad scene. But they all were taken to the hospital, and miraculously we brought them home Monday night. And I also wanted to thank God that the driver of the other car was not seriously injured, which was a miracle. A few of the brothers here were at the scene, and it wasn't a pretty sight. But our God is champion. So, but Brother Wes, would you come and lead us in prayer? If you'd stand with us, all unspoken prayer requests, just raising your hand.
Let's pray. Father, we can't praise you enough for your mighty hand, your protection, your loving care, the way you look out for us and watch over us, Lord. Lord, there's so many times where every one of us have been in situations where we could have been taken down or out, and you were there to protect us, to stand by us because it wasn't our time or it wasn't the place or it wasn't geared or designed to teach us or prepare us for our walk. So you saved us from it. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for how much you love us and what you do for us. Lord, we look so forward to laying these requests at your feet, Lord, because we know that we don't have to waver. Though all these problems and all these sicknesses and all these different things that come before you as we lay these requests down look like wind and look like waves and look like trouble and turbulence and look so formidable and so harsh and so hard, we know, Lord, that if we just keep our eyes on you and trust you and believe you, that it's all in your hands and there's nothing that can come against us, Lord, that can overpower you. And if we'll just stay resting in that and keep our faith in that, Lord, then we have nothing to fear. Fear cannot touch us. Fear cannot control us. It cannot make us nervous. It cannot take our sleep. It cannot take our lives from us, Lord, because we're trusting in you. Lord God, you're so precious to us. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you tonight. Help us to worship you as you deserve to be worshiped. Help us to turn our hearts wide open, Lord, and just open the doors and let you come in. Lord, be with our brother as he comes to speak your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to support him, Lord, by pulling on that word. Draw us closer, Lord Jesus. We love you, and we ask and pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to remain standing with us and sing an old song together, if they can find the old song, I've Anchored in Jesus, maybe if the brothers would come, we'll receive the offering. Man, we'll try it. Everybody help me out. Up on life's boundless ocean, we're mighty billows. I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When smiles pierce the sailing, as storms are gathering old, I rest upon his mercy and trust him bold. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are
Jesus, for he hath power to save.
Brother David Swanson, if he'd come.
If you'd all like to help me sing this song, it's one of our favorites, How Great Thou Art. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. And forest glades I wander, and I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. God, his Son, not sparing, he sent him to die. Oh, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, oh, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou.
Let's all stand together as we change the order of the service. We'll help Brother Harry sing a chorus now.
Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade.
I think that's all our desires, truly, to be drawn closer to Him. The one that we've loved, longed to see. Anybody that's ever come in contact and met the Lord Jesus, it's been His desire to see Him. As the Scripture said, they said, let us see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And it's our greatest desire, we want to see Him. So right now we're making preparation. We're coming to the house of the Lord. Getting our lives ready because soon I believe we're going to see Him. He said He'll come back in physical form to take this bride away. We'll see the man, Christ Jesus. We'll see the man. It will be a wonderful time. That's what we're making preparation for. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Sooner we get started, sooner we can get out. I know there's some weather outside, so we'll try not to hold you over 2.5 hours. I'm going to preach my Christmas message tonight, but it won't be Christ in a manger. It'll be Christ in bride form. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read the scriptures that Brother Bram read, or just part of them, for Christ is a mystery. And then we'll go right on into the Word. I trust that we'll have a good time tonight. I would like to say also with Brother Jim, thank God for a miracle. He cares. Do we care? How much does He really care for you? We'll even find out more about that tonight. How much He really does care for His children. And not only just His children. He made a way for common salvation. John 3:16, whosoever will be. He really, really cares for His bride. The closest thing to God is His wife. And that's where this devil is hammering right now. He can't get to God, but he sure can try to get to his wife. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to its saints. Now, you know, scriptures actually have a time application. Now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, this is a mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The real theme of Christ's mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, there's only one perfect one. So the only way that we can be presented perfect is to be in Him. So we want to find out not how to get in Him, but we want to try to evaluate, are we really in Him the right way? And if we are, what a blessing. Now, while you're standing, I want to read a quote to you. Short one. I'm not going to be satisfied until this church manifests deity personified in flesh. Amen. You know who said that? Donnie Reagan. January the 5th of this year. I have been studying on this subject, Brother David, for about 3 or 4 months. My problem was I couldn't find a title. I had this subject matter, but I couldn't come up with a title. Well, I wrote that statement down when he preached that a couple of weeks ago. And then last night, the Lord said, there's your title right there. Deity personified in flesh. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I'm thankful, dear God, for the things that you have given us in this generation. Thankful, Lord, that you have sent us a messenger. Lord, had we not had a messenger, several things would have happened. One is we know that the earth would have been smitten with a curse, because you sent us Elijah the prophet before that would happen. And second of all, Lord, we would be out in denominational Babylon had you not sent a messenger to call us out. And Lord, we would, because he had chosen the harder way, he showed us the way, the path, the approach, the avenue to get back to God. Lord, and he give us an understanding and restored us back to the fallen truths. Lord, so many things. All I can say is we're thankful you sent us a messenger. Of God, may we appreciate it, may we take it, may we learn from it, may we glean a little bit more from it tonight, that we might be better Christians, better sons and daughters of God, more equipped to whip the devil, and to have faith to get out of here. We ask you to help us, Lord, tonight. Commit it in your hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Deity personified in flesh. Now, all through the lesson tonight, I want you to think on this particular thought. Bear this in mind. If I only could really, really recognize and accept who I really am. You know, this is, Brother M said, when the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. Now, I want you to really think about that all through the lesson tonight. Really, who am I? Really, really, who am I? Who am I? So keep that and bear that in mind as we go through tonight. Now, to understand from the beginning God's purpose and Satan's purpose dealing with humanity, we want to look at this quote out of God's power to transform, and we'll see Satan's purpose. He says in God's power to transform, let us read for a minute in the book of Isaiah. Let's begin with the 14th chapter, 12th verse. And we know Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which had weakened the nations? This is Isaiah seeing a vision, see, in the age to come. In the age to come. Now, what age is he seeing this vision in the age to come? We'll see just in a minute what age he's speaking of. Which age? For thou hast said in the heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. And Brother Bram goes on to say, Satan's purpose from Eden was to make his own self an Eden and exalt himself above, so the stars of God would worship him. Sons would worship him, and he has absolutely carried it out now. So now, which age would you say that Satan was successful in carrying out Isaiah 14 and 12? This age. He's absolutely carried out this age. Now, Satan's purpose was to be the god of this evil age. God permitted him to take 6,000 years to do it, but he has, Satan only works by permission, what God will permit him to do. So God permitted him to exalt himself over time to where he has finally become the God of this world. Now you must understand, you've got to understand this quote. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Satan is the God of this world. Satan is presently the God of this evil age. You are living in Satan's jungle, and all the wild beasts are, you're camping out in Satan's paradise. You're camping out in Satan's Eden with all the wild devils, if you will. Camping out. But aren't you glad in the middle of all that camping out, we can have camp meeting here. 3 times a week we can have camp meeting too. So in the closing pages of history, you're living in Satan's paradise. It's his zenith. Not a fit place for the bride. But you're going to see it almost from the ridiculous to the sublime. The opposition. Now, notice here in God of the Evil Age, paragraph 74. Now, listen. For Satan is not spoke of as the God of any other age but this age. He wasn't spoke of the God of the age of Noah. He wasn't spoke of the God of the age of Moses, the God of the age of Elijah. But this evil age. He is the... Oh, don't miss this. He is the God of this evil age, worshipped by millions and billions of people, and they don't know it. That is a sad case of affair. Remember Brother Donnie said, a few months back, he said, in the world, most men in the world will go to hell. Most women in this world will go to hell. That's where we're living. That's why he said Satan is worshipped by millions and billions of people. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few be that find it. You think you're not blessed here tonight? You think you're not blessed to sit in a tabernacle that preaches the truth? I'm not talking about sinking creek. You think you're not blessed to sit under a ministry that tells you the truth? You think you're not blessed to receive from the hand of Almighty God that's given you not a strong delusion but to believe a lie, but giving you the truth that you might escape? You think you're not a blessed people? This is why Satan is the God of this evil age, because he has become the God of this age, and millions and billions of people worship him, not knowing him. Now, Satan's triumph in this age is really no threat to God. As I said, Satan works by permission. God's actually only permitted it to fulfill his will, to bring to pass his will. Now, like Job, God had a hedge about his soul, and today we call that the token. And I'm thankful we have a hedge about our soul, not our flesh, but our soul. Now, why is this last generation so different? Remember, this is the age of the pale horse rider, which actually goes up to the rapture. It's the fourth seal, that grizzly-colored, mixed, pale, sickly-looking horse. Because this is the age of hybridization. Everything is mixed. It's hybrid. The churches are hybrid. Hybrid religion. Marriages are hybrid. Mixed color, even mixed sexes. The food's hybrid. Dyes and hormones and steroids and you name it. The politics is hybrid. Amen. Nothing pure anymore. Even our president is hybrid. He's neither black nor white. He's hybrid. It's a hybrid age. Everything's hybrid. It has to be this way. Now, but on the other side of the coin, this is the only age named after God's wife, the age that we're living in, the bride age. And this is the only age the seals are open, the full word's born into manifestation. This is the only age that Brother M said the token could only come in the evening time. You're talking about blessed people. Amen. This is the only age of total restoration of all that Adam lost. You say all that Adam lost? What about even the spoken word? What about them squirrels? Totally been restored. This is the only age the Word has been made flesh again. Deity walking again in shoe leather. We're going to see that in really pure form in a little while. A people that has heard from their theophany, deity walking in shoe leather again. Now, we have a tremendous dilemma now. So, a bride is coming to her zenith, a church rising up, and Satan is now at his zenith. the god of this evil age. The stage now is set for a real final showdown. The battle is in array, if you will. Satan is flexing his muscles trying to get a uniting of all of his group together. The bride is recognizing who she is. Looks like to me this is going to be a great showdown. We know the greatest battle ever fought is being fought right now. But there's going to be a manifestation of this battle within just a little while. Now, to show you a couple of quotes talking about deity, Brother Bev says, in God perfecting his church. Now, what he did, he does that to make you perfect and bring you back. Remember what we read, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1, verse 28. Brother Bev says, to make you perfect and bring you back into fellowship. See, Adam lost his fellowship with God as he was originally, as God had, you know, and the fall came. Now, God is desiring to get back into fellowship like it was back then, amen, even greater. He brings you through the blood cell to himself. You get it? Through the blood cell of the Lord Jesus that unveiled the life of Jehovah. And we coming through the blood cell becomes a part of that life. Amen. So deity itself lays in the man that's received the Holy Ghost. Not everybody. Not everybody. Only those that have the word birth. Not even baptized on your spirit realm. I'm talking about a word birth. According to Malachi 4, a word birth. Deity lays in the man that's received the Holy Spirit. You are a son. I'm a Branham by birth, and a part of Mr. and Ms. Branham is in me. And if you become a son and daughter of God, part of deity lays in you. So how the devil robs you. You know we're living below our privileges. You know why we are? You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. If we had really that kind of faith, we should be up this level. Oh, see how the devil robs you. Say, oh, you can't do this. All things are possible to them that believe. No matter what it is, you are a part of deity. A son, not a servant, a son and a daughter. Why, brother? It surpasses all angels, archangels, and everything else. Comes right into the presence of the potter himself. And how we are brought through the blood, amen, then you come into deity. You become a part, you're welded. Thank God we're welded in. Now, at the bottom of this paragraph, Brother Bram says, and he's talking about being part of God through their blood cell, that's what makes Satan mad. That's what shakes him. When the church of Jesus Christ only knew who they were, brother. Recognizing who you are. If you only really knew who you are. You say, wait a minute. No, I'm saying, if you only really could recognize who you really are. Think about that. Think about it. You're going to need it. Christ the mystery, paragraph 240. The new birth is Christ is the revelation. God has revealed you to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? And God is expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when she knows what it is. Amen. How important is it to recognize who you are? Well, just to take a rapture. Just to take a rapture, that's how important it is. Now we have two players in this battle, Satan against the bride. You say, well, what about the denominations already got them? They've been indicted. Yeah, he'll pull one out, one here and one there, you know. But let's talk about the bride a little bit. The move is on for the bride. The big focus right now is recognizing who you are. Now, let me just say something right now. People have a hard time right now. What is taking place right now? I don't see a lot going on. I don't see miracles, a lot of signs and wonders. The healing revival's over in the 50s. And, you know, we don't see a lot of outward manifestation of God. What's really taking place right now? Let me tell you what's taking place right now. You take a corn seed. You plant it in the ground. You come up a little stalk, blade, stalk, comes up tassel, ears come out. All through the life growth cycle of that corn, there's a lot of obvious growth until it comes to near maturity time. The ear comes out. Once the ear comes out and then the life begins to go into the grain, then there's little obvious growth at that point. Or you could see it grow and the tassel and the ears coming out and getting bigger and bigger. But at the time, nearing harvest at maturity time, there's little obvious growth on the outside. Amen. All the maturity is on the inside. Amen. It's not on the outside. Amen. So where are we right now? It's the maturing of the seed inside of you. Amen. Yes, you're going to bring that outer flesh under subjection. You're going to do that. But the real focus is on God maturing that seed inside of you. Bringing that seed to maturity. If God can get the inner man right, it'll take care of the outer man. He ain't worried about getting his flesh under control. That's your responsibility. If he can get the soul under control, you'll bring the flesh under control. So that's where we are right now. Now, we know we're at the end of the end. And knowing God's plan from the beginning helps us to know who we are. Now, in this Sardian church age is a real important quote. I want you to catch this. Paragraph 279, page 279, Sardian church age. Now, let us go another step. But before we do, let us review our case thus far. First of all, we know most assuredly. Now, this is the purpose of God. Don't fail to get this. The purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in himself. It was God's purpose. To bring forth a people like unto himself. Don't you miss that quote. It's God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. Did you hear what I said? It's God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. Now you hold that. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it in your memory banks, your software, your hardware, wherever. Don't forget that. To bring forth a people like unto himself, and that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. We're the in him crowd. Now, I don't want to be just with him. I want to be in him. Now, there's a difference. Because if you go back in John 13:8 with the foot washing scripture, when Jesus said, "Now I'm going to wash Peter, I'm going to wash your feet," Peter said, "No, you'll never wash my feet." And then Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." He didn't say you don't have no part in me. He said you have no part with me. That's fellowship. But being in Christ, you can't separate that out. That's why he didn't say, "Peter, you don't have no part in me." He said, "You have no part with me if I don't wash your feet." That's just the fellowship part. But so she was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed into her. Blessed is the man that the Lord will not impute sin. You talk about a blessed people. I'm talking about God's blessing, God's chosen, God's elected, God's people, his bride. Now, the first man was likened to himself. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and image of God created him, male and female. Now, you know, Satan hates Genesis 1:27. Satan hated Genesis 1:27. You see, Satan is jealous. Satan used to be in the presence of God. He knows the approach to God. He knows all about God, but he got lifted up and got kicked out of heaven. And Satan is a jealous God because God is declaring now, since the fall, "I want to have fellowship with man," and Satan can't stand it. And not only does he want to have fellowship with man, he wants to indwell man. Now, if Satan could do something to alter or to change or to destroy God's fellowship with man, of course, that was a fall. Now, don't miss this statement. God not only wanted to have fellowship back with man, but he also wanted to indwell man. to bring forth a people like unto himself. God's a spirit and God wanted to dwell a man, but Satan wanted the same thing. Now, thieves and church aides. This quote, actually I read this in, last time when I preached on God's resting place. But in the bottom I want to bring a very, very important quote out. Now, why did this have to be? Why was it that the seed of the serpent must come this way? Man was created for God. Man was to be the temple of God, the place of God's rest. The man was the temple, God's resting place. We talked about it last time. And then he reads Acts 7:45. We won't take time to read that. But let's just go on down. Satan has known this all along. Satan, he also wants to indwell man. Hold that thought. Satan wants to indwell man. Even as God so does. But God has reserved to himself that right. Satan cannot do that. Now listen, this is back in the beginning now, what he's talking about. Satan cannot do that. God alone appeared in human flesh. Satan could not and cannot do that. He does not have creative powers. We're talking about creative powers. The only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter the serpent in Eden. Just like when Satan entered into Judas and he went and did what he had to do. Satan entered the serpent and he did what he had to do. Even as he entered the evil spirits in the swine of Gadara, God does not enter animals, but Satan can and will to accomplish his ends. He could not have a child directly by Eve as God did by Mary. So he entered into the serpent and then beguiled Eve. He seduced her, and by her did Satan have a child vicariously. Now, watch this next thing. When I really began to study on this, this just about blew me away. I really began to think. Cain bore the full spiritual characteristics of Satan. And the animalistic, sensual, fleshly characteristics of the serpent. No wonder the Holy Spirit said Cain was of that wicked one. Now, I can't explain how that the devil entered into the serpent and to bring about a child vicariously, whereas that child, Cain, would bear the full spiritual characteristics of Satan. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm just telling you he did. That's what he said. Cain bore the full spiritual characteristics of Satan. I'm not going to go any farther till you get that. That was Cain. Who was Cain? I'm asking you not, who are you really? Who are you? Now we're going to explore, who really was Cain? He had all the spiritual characteristics of the devil. And he had all the animalistic, sensual, fleshly characteristics of the serpent. Now who really was Cain? I'm going to expose Cain. I'm going to tell you who Cain was. Cain was the first incarnate son of the devil. Cain was the incarnate son of the devil. Adam was not Cain's father. The devil was Cain's father. That's why Cain had the nature of his father to kill, to murder, evil, deception, rebellion. Not like Abel. Not like Adam. Cain was like his father, the devil. He was serpent seed, and he bore all the nature of the devil. He was an incarnate son of the devil. Just like Adam was the first incarnate son of God. Think about it. Cain, an incarnate devil. Some time ago, I got to thinking about incarnation. What it is, what Brother Ram said about it. Like Brother Ram said in the second seal, he said, Jesus was the incarnate God. Judas was the incarnate devil. And then I remembered this quote that Brother Ram said in Corinthians Book of Correction. And this is striking. And even the ministers trying to upbuild that king of a thing, and Elvis Presley saying, yeah, I trust in God for all my success. How could a living, holy God ever give success to vulgarity? And a devil demonized thing that's absolutely been one of the greatest hindrances that this nation has ever seen is a guy like Elvis Presley, who sent millions of souls to hell by his old dirty, filthy rock and roll. Certainly I don't have any apology for it. If you can believe me to be God's prophet, if you can believe me to be God's prophet, remember there is an incarnated devil. Elvis Presley, an incarnated devil. Now, that's why he said, if you believe me to be God's prophet, you take this statement for truth. An incarnated devil. Wow. Judas, an incarnated devil. Elvis Presley, an incarnated devil. Another one in our age. You ever look up the word incarnate or incarnation? Now don't be disillusioned. You know, that's kind of a scary word, incarnate. Well, it just comes, you know, incarnate just comes from the word carnal, like our carnal flesh, you know, carnality, carnal. Incarnate, it actually means to be in flesh. I actually meant to put these definitions up. I didn't have them up, so I'm going to read them to you. Incarnate, to be made flesh. Endowed with a human body, in human form, to provide with flesh or a body, to embody, to give actual form, to make real. Incarnation, definition of incarnation. Endowment with a human body, appearance in human form. Any person or animal serving as the embodiment of a god or a spirit. I believe I'll read that one again. Any person or animal serving as the embodiment of a God or a spirit. Incarnation. So you're telling me now, if a person serves as a house for a God or a spirit, that person is an incarnation of that God. Lord, help me to just behave. Elvis was the house that the devil lived in. Brother Bev said he was an incarnate devil. So, as we just read the definition, it's a house, an embodiment of that spirit. So Elvis was the body that the devil lived in this age, as well as others. So I got to thinking. Judas was an incarnate devil, and I'm sure Hitler was too, many of them. Elvis was an incarnate devil. Now, that just don't seem right. Here we got Elvis, an incarnate devil. In this age, where is the opposite? Where is the opposite? If we have a Judas in Jesus' day, we got an Elvis in our day, where is the opposite? Somebody tell me, where is the opposite? I got to thinking about that. There must be God incarnated in people somewhere. If you got an incarnated devil, you got to have God incarnated somewhere. Now, I'm telling you, I can tell you where it's at, but I won't tell you yet. Now, before you start throwing any rotten fruit, I've got it right before me. You don't think I preach this unless I got it right in front of me. Remember, Brother Branham said, this is a generation that the Word was to be made flesh again. He said, in the first seal, I'm going to call you bride. The rising of the sun, he said, she's bone of bone, flesh of flesh, said she is him. And on and on and on the quotes go. Brother Matt said, Christ the mystery. Jesus said, at that day, I and the Father follow me. He said, at that day, that's this day. At that day, that's this day. At that day, when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I and you in me. That's this day. That's this day. When the revelation is made manifest, at that day ye shall know. Ye shall know. Ye shall know that I and the Father are one, I and the Father and the Father me. Then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I and you and me. There you are. Christ the mystery, one of the greatest messages the prophet ever preached. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Well, if Christ is the mystery of God revealed, then the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the bride, the church. Now, don't choke on this next quote. Here it is. The second seal. Now, but in the age after the church goes home, he becomes a beast. He becomes the devil incarnate. The red dragon himself. Oh my, can't you see what I mean? He's incarnate in his people then. That's then. He's got his people bound by his power. The false prophet has prophesied them right into it. Give them over to strong delusions to believe a lie and be damned by it. Denying the word with a form of godliness. God, watch it. Don't miss it. God works his place in the Trinity. Justification, sanctification, and incarnate himself in his people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same thing. Glory! Second seal. Incarnate himself with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How does God do it? How does Christ do it today? With the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Incarnate himself in his people. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same thing. The devil's just the type after Christ. The devil's just the type after Christ. So if we had an Elvis who was an incarnate devil in this day, you tell me, pray to heaven, where is the other side? It's got to be on earth somewhere. He also says in the second seal, now watch, Satan, when Jesus incarnates himself in his people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. I think I'm just about going to have a shout spell. What is the token? What is the token? Somebody tell me, what did Brother Matt say the token was? He said the token was the literal life of Christ back in the believer. Do you believe that? Did he say literal? Literal. What does literal mean? It means it actually has substance. Incarnate himself in his people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus incarnates himself in his people, their very life that was in Christ is in that person. Brother, that's heavy. Mighty God unveiled. We find out here that God has always had skin on him. When Moses seen him, he had skin on him. Looked like a man. When God was behind the curtains, he had skin on him. And God tonight in his church is veiled in his church with skin on it. He's still the same God tonight. Christ the mystery, now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. Somebody say hallelujah. The complete fullness. Did you hear? The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading what he said. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into his church, the believers. Now listen, if you're not there, this don't apply to you. But if you are truly with the word birth, then this applies to you. Now remember the scripture is so close to seeing the very elect. Now, trying to do God a service. Watch how close it gets to that razor edge now between right and wrong. Remember it'll fall on one side or the other till it comes down like a honed razor between the difference of right and wrong. It's got to be every word of God, not just almost every word, but every word. Now, I want to show you the wrong side of this incarnation. I'll show you the bad side, the wrong side, because we want it won't expose. Question and answer 64. Brother Branham, a sister came to the tabernacle some 800 miles and she said she believed you was Jesus Christ incarnate. Please speak on this. She was very impatient trying to tell others what she thinks. All right, now, of course the sister was wrong. I am not Jesus Christ. I am his servant. We went through that so many times. I could take this one, and this one, and this one, another one, ever present water from the rock. Brother Rev said, and that's what's caused the brethren to get that doctrine started, that I was the incarnated Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that that would just tear the ministry all to pieces and bring reproach upon Christ and everything. See, so that's the reason I had to give them a great shake to stop it right at once. Let them know that was not of God. That was of the devil. So where lies the truth? God incarnates himself in his people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know, Brother Branham was not Jesus Christ incarnated. Brother Donnie is not Jesus Christ incarnated. I am not Jesus Christ incarnated. But God does incarnate his bride by the baptism of the Holy Ghost with his Spirit. They missed the mark. Nobody can be Jesus Christ incarnated. There's just one Jesus Christ. There's just one Savior, one Redeemer, one God, and his name is Jesus. If I was to say, Gene, I believe you're the Messiah, what would y'all say? That's heresy. That's blasphemy. I agree. True? But what if I said, Gene, I believe you're a Messiah. What about that? I'll accept that, won't you? Didn't the prophet of God say we're Messiahs? Little eaglets? Sons and daughters of God? Likened to him? Messiahs? Not the Messiah, Messiahs. A fax, if you will. A carbon copy. Not the original, but just like it. But God does personify or incarnate his very life into his bride by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I chose this title, as Brother Donnie said, Deity Personified in Flesh. I'm so glad that he said that. Now, let's go on. Now, I noticed, I found this one commentary. Now, this is just a secular commentary. They really had it together on this subject, and it's correct what they said. Now, notice how this writer says this. This is wonderful. And I'm going to show you a real interesting fact here, or application rather. The incarnation, this is I don't know if it's a historian, actor, or commentary. The incarnation of God did not embody mere qualities and perfections, but himself. How closely must the nature of man, Brother David, this is tremendous. How closely must the nature of man be related to the nature of God? For God himself, nature of God, for God himself became incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth. It was through the points of similarity between the nature of God and the nature of man involved in the divine fatherhood that the incarnation of deity in humanity became possible. Remember, God don't enter animals. So there had to be, and he had to be a kinsman. He had to have similar qualities, similar faculties. He said, we revolt at the heathen idea that a divine being can be enshrined in an idol of wood or stone because there are no godlike faculties through which the radiance of a divine presence can stream forth on the kindred faculties of the worshiper who are to be illuminated by the manifestation. If man be the offspring of God, the incarnation becomes rational and credible. Why? Because there's got to be some similar faculties between the nature of God and the nature of man for God to come down and be in that man. There's got to be some similar faculties. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. That's why he can incarnate Jesus, but God become flesh. He was the incarnated God, a human, similar faculties. Now, if man be the offspring of God, the incarnation becomes rational and credible. Our first nature was not compatible with God. Our first nature was not compatible with God. But now our new nature is closely related to the nature of God. Our new nature has God-like faculties. Our new nature actually is His nature. He became me that I might become Him. So since we have the nature of God by a new birth, then we can see that there is some similar faculties by which God would be pleased to come down and indwell man. But there has to be a new birth first. There's got to be a nature change. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come this world speaking lies. He's not going to come in that. He's not going to dwell in that. But He's going to dwell in a man that's been changed, regenerated, absolutely transformed. Then He'll come down and dwell. Amen. I say if Elvis was an incarnated devil, then I'm saying this bride by the incarnation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just the opposite. God coming down and dwelling in human flesh. As Brother Donnie said, God personified in flesh once again. God personified. Well, you take the word personified. What is that? That means personal, personalified. We just say personified, but it means person. Personalized, personified, being in a person. God personified in flesh. Listen, this is the age of deity back in flesh again. Deity personified in flesh. That's what the token was or is the literal life of Christ. Now we have Jesus incarnates Himself in His people by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But here's the big question. Why? Why must our nature be so close related to the nature of God? Why must we have the token, the literal life of Jesus Christ, the literal life of God? Why must this bride be the Word made flesh? I'm asking you why. Think about it. Why must deity be personified in flesh at this end time? Why must God be incarnated in the bride by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why? I'm asking you, why must it be? The answer is very simple. To fulfill God's plan. Remember what we read in the Sardine church age? He said the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in Him. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto Himself. He's going to bring forth a people like unto Himself. So listen, this is the last of the age before we get out of here. What we have to get to the other side, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we got to get it here. What you get to make it out of here, you get it here first. You ain't going to get on the other side and then just actually get the nature of God and then get perfect. No, you get it here. To bring forth a people like unto Himself, that would be the word bride. So God, to finish up His plan after 6,000 years, was to reproduce Himself. A people like unto Himself. The Word made flesh again. Deity personified in flesh once again. A people with the identical nature to receive the headstone. It had to come back to this for him to have preeminence in His bride, Christ the mystery, the second fold purpose, to have preeminence. It had to be that. It had to come to that point. God is not going to have preeminence in a people that's not even born again. That's why He said the perfect word to get a people perfect. Not flawless, perfect. Not without fault, perfect. We're not talking about flawless, we're talking about mature. We're talking about sons and daughters of God coming to maturity. We're talking about adoption. We're not talking about the infancy of the bride as it was in 1962, Spoken Word's original seed. We're talking about maturity, rapture time, going home time, translation time, maturity time, sons and daughters of God with the ministry of Christ Jesus again. Had to come back to this to fulfill that. Now, another equally important reason why God had to have deity personified in flesh at the end time, and that is soon we're going to really need it. What you have, a new birth, a word birth, we're going to need it real, real soon. Brother Ben says in conferences, oh, brother, I wish we had just a little more time. The time is coming. When either you're going to put your organization in the World Council of Churches, if you do that, you'll take the image of the beast because you got a power just like it was in Rome. And if you don't, you'll be an individual independent church. And when you do, the image of the beast is going to close your doors and you're going to be forbidden. And then you're going to need a conference. Now look at this next quote. Man here can turn on the light. Now there, we're going to close up. You have to be one of them or not. You're either into that or you can't do nothing. Can't even buy or sell. That's it. You dare some pray for the sick. If you're caught ministering to any sick person with any spiritual thing there, you're subject to federal law to be executed. That's exactly right. See, you know that. That's right. It's in the papers. Yes, sir. So you cannot do it. You have to belong to the cult. Brother, let me tell you something. You better get Christ sure in your heart right now, because there is a time coming when you're really going to need it. You're out then. You're going to really need it. Now the next part, until I close the next 10 minutes, this is not the pleasant part of this sermon, but this is the needful part. Why did God permit this? Or why did God ordain this, rather, that have a people with the ministry of Christ, like Christ, in the likeness of Christ, deity personified in flesh again? Why did God desire that? Of course, we just read that to fulfill His plan. But there's other reasons also. Now you say, well, when you talk about the squeeze, well, we can't have the rapture. Remember that over 600 prophecies will fulfill the last 48 hours of Jesus' life. It can happen like that. Don't you think, well, they're going to have to close the doors and, we have to have a woman president. We're going to have to, don't you think that it can happen just like that? 3 days time, they can close this thing. We can have a 29 crash. They close the banks. You ain't got no money. Nothing like that. The things all goes down. California could go in. All the banking systems out there. The whole thing could collapse. In just a couple of weeks time, the whole nation is shot. Shut down. Quit. Don't you think it can't happen overnight? You're going to need it. Also, when they close the doors, you won't be able to get in then. Don't you forget that. When they close the door, say, oh, well, I'll get in when I see the squeeze cut. You can't get in then. No. When that time comes, I can assure you the day of mercy is over. You want proof? Go back to the ark. When God shut the door, they was in that ark 7 days before the rain ever started, with no possibility of being saved. Not none. Zero. Go back and listen to souls that are now in prison. Not even the possibility of being saved when God closed the door. And they sat in there 7 days. Amen. Souls that are now in prison. Don't wait till that day because you say, well, I'll get in. You can't get in then. You won't be able to get in then. You get in now. I have a cassette here preached by Donnie Reagan. July 28th, 1991. Called The Boycott Against the Bride, Part 2. I've listened to it 8 or 10 times in the last 3 months. I'm going to preach this sermon in 5 minutes. Okay? Fair enough? Okay? We know we're going to have a squeeze. Not tribulation, but persecution. He says in Why We're Not a Denomination, did you notice the beast coming up out of the sea? That was in Revelation the 13th. And when you see the beast coming up out of the sea, it meant that this power was raising up amongst the people. But in Revelation 13, when the Lamb came up, it came out of the earth. No people, United States. But when after had two little horns, civil ecclesiastical powers, then he received power and spoke like a dragon did before him. So you just mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution with the same thing they did in pagan Rome many years ago, for that's thus saith the Lord. I don't care if that's 1933 or 1963, thus saith the Lord is true and correct. Amen. So we're coming into a religious persecution. Now, God's prophet told us we're going to have a squeeze. Now, I want to ask you, why? Why do we need a squeeze? Why do we need a little squeezing? Why? We have the message. We have the information. We have the prophecy. We have the mechanics. But I ask you, are you rapture ready? No. Because if you were, we'd already be gone. Brother Ben said, I see nothing hindering the going home except the readiness of the bride. So we're still here, so we're not ready yet. I mean, that's 1 + 1 = 2. Do we read our Bibles like we should? Do we listen to tapes like we should? Do we pray like we should? Why don't we pray like we should? We've got the materials. We've got homes. We've got carpet to kneel on. We've got free time. Why don't we pray like we should? Why don't we pray like we even need to? Why aren't we in desperation like we need to? Well, the best way to answer this question is to go back the third Exodus, typing out the first Exodus. When the children of Israel left Egypt, before they left Egypt, well, for 400 years, everything was going fine. And there was a Pharaoh there that knew Joseph and everything went well. But when there was a Pharaoh rose up that didn't know Joseph, then they began to persecute him and call and begin to whip him and begin to beat him, make it hard on them. They had to not only make bricks, but they had to go find the provender to make the bricks, and they had to make the double amount and this and that and this and that. Then it become hard on them. Then they begin to pray. Then they begin to get in desperation. Then they begin, God, send us a deliverer. God, get us out of this pest house. God, get us out of Laodicea. God, we need deliverance. Are you seeing daylight? Desperation don't come with soft living. That's why we're going to have a little squeeze. Israel time surprise, I just said, and it was not until the people began to pray and to cry out and to wail and to call on God in desperation. God, get us out of this. God, we need deliverance. God, we're going to perish here. God, help us. God said, I've heard the cry of my people. Moses, go down and take them out of that place. It's time for deliverance. God has to get his bride rapture ready the same way. So he's going to send a little squeeze to get her in desperation. Now remember in 2 Thessalonians 2, about 5 more minutes, 10 at the most. He who letteth will let until he be taken away. Who is that he? Brother Man says in the first seal, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Deceivers, you see, deceiving his people off into something. Only he, God, that letteth, will let until he, remember, now he says that he in the masculine. And Brother Ben, he's the church, but Christ the bride. But he says he, but you're in him. You're in Christ. So the he that he's talking about will let until he be taken away, that's the bride, be taken out of the way. Remember for the, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, until the bride be taken out of the way. And Brother Man says in the first seal, now listen, he said, then in Revelation 13, I'm skipping all this, but you'll get the understanding. In Revelation 13, he sets the mark down. See, when he that letteth, now, Brother Man, now he injects this all, now on, only now Christianity is left on the earth in its purity is because him that letteth. I ask you the question, where is Christianity on earth in its purity today? I'll tell you where it is. It's under the auspices of Malachi 4. That's the only place Christianity in its purity is on earth this night. If it wasn't for this bride, God would have already sent the curse on the earth. He would already let Satan take over this with his diabolical powers. But because God's little wife down here said, no, not yet, devil. Not yet, devil. My little wife's down here. You, the bride, are holding back the wrath of Almighty God. You are holding back the sixth seal. You, because you haven't come to perfection yet. You haven't come to that place of maturity yet. You haven't come to that place that you're going, but God's going to squeeze you into it and squeeze me into it and get us ready. Danny's going to take us out of here. So Christianity in its purity will let, and that's the only thing that's holding back the wrath of God right now. You talk about a blessed people. You are. Now, I ain't saying about everybody, because somebody says, yo, we got make-believers and unbelievers. We got mixed multitude around the message. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine bride seed. You are holding back the wrath of Almighty God. You are God's, the apple of God's eye. The closest thing to God is little wife. You don't think you're important? You better recognize who you are, friend. You don't think you're important? You better recognize who you are. Then when you really recognize who you are, then you know what you do? You'll fall in love with that man, Christ Jesus, about twice what you are right now. He cared so much for you. He chose you from the foundation of the world to be His bride. You don't think He called you out of denominational babbling for anything just because, well, I don't have anybody else to choose. So no, He chose you because you were part of Him. Amen. You are in Him. Amen. He loves you. Amen. You are His attributes. The proof of God's love is election, because He's called to you this, because you, He has called you to this great truth. Now that don't make you born again, but that's proof of His love, because He's called you to this truth. If He don't do one thing for you ever again, He's already shown you His love by calling you to this truth. Why has God have to send a squeeze or a persecution? Why has God have to send a squeeze or a persecution? To get her ready. To get her rapture ready. Persecution shakes a Christian to make her pray more, dig down, get a better hold, so he can stand the storms. Remember, the storms is what proves the foundation. Remember, Brother Brown, who was it preached on the foundation? Was that preached on the house built on the rock, house built on the sand? Anyway, a few weeks ago, preached on that, and the storms proved whether the foundation was right. Now, remember now, I'm asking you, why do we need a squeeze? I'm going to close in a minute. Why do we need a squeeze? Why do we need this bitter persecution? Why do we need to get an inspiration? Why does God need to permit the World Council of Churches to take over? The answer is very simple. Character. Character. Our final character for the rapture. That's why He's going to permit it. That's why God's going to ordain it, actually. Character for the rapture. God, listen. God is going to let the devil breathe down our necks just enough to get us a condition for the rapture. You say, that's going to be hard. Oh, it might be for a week or a month or 40 days or 60 days or I don't know how long it'll be. But brother, I'm going to tell you what, it won't be but for a short time. And God's going to take this little bride out of here in a blaze of glory. Not to the world. It won't be a public show, this third pool. But God's going to take her out of here. Remember, Brother Ben said, God gives supreme grace and supreme hour. Don't you have to worry about it. There's a man here that can turn on the lights. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. When that time comes, He'll give supreme grace for the supreme hour. Amen. It's going to take that kind of character to handle the third pull, that spoken word. It's going to take that kind of character to match that headstone. It's going to take that kind of character to get out of here. And character is not made by soft living. While I've closed the musician, why don't you come? Character is made by persecution. Character is a victory, not a gift. Character is a victory, not a gift. I want to say that one more time. Character is not something you're born with. In fact, you're born without character. We're born with Satan's nature. That's why we have to have a new birth. That's why we have to be changed. That's why we have to be transformed. That's why we have to be born anew. Reborn. Just like we're born once, we got to be born twice. Absolutely a brand new birth. I'm not talking about being raised in the message and said I'm a Christian. I'm talking about being born again. And when you know you're born again, then your passion is Christ. Your love is Christ. Your love is the things of Christ. Brother Ben said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, said you might speak in tongues, you might not. You might shout, you might not. You may dance, you might not. But there's one thing you will do. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, faith. He said, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit if you're born again. Deity personified in flesh again. Deity personified in flesh again. Brother, I think I'll drink to that. Deity personified in flesh. It had to be this way. This is the only age the Word truly made flesh. Because it's the only age that the full word was born into manifestation. It's the only age. Part words couldn't do it. Luther's message couldn't do it. That was part of it. Brought us to Wesley. Brought us to Pentecost. Brother Matt said we're not even living in Pentecostal age. It's the bride age. But we're going back to the original Pentecost. The power of Pentecost. But it takes the full word, the true full word being born into manifestation to bring a people to where they actually can be deity personified in human flesh again. You say, I look at myself. That's where you made your first mistake. Don't look at your flesh. Your flesh is sticky. It'll always be sticky. That don't give you a license to sin. That don't give you a license to unbelieve and to live in a bad manner of any way. If you really love Christ, if I really love Christ, and your passion is truly is Christ, I wouldn't do anything to hurt him. Nothing. Can you imagine my sweet little wife, we've been married 40 years, my precious little sweetheart, we love one another. You believe that? You got that right. You better believe it. You think I would do something to hurt her? You think I could cheat on her? You think she could do that to me? She really loves me. If you really love Christ, how could you cheat on Christ? You can't do it. It's a love affair. It's a love affair. You're not falling in love with red letters. You're falling in love with the person of Jesus Christ. It's a love affair. That's the reason I want to meet the man, Christ Jesus. I want to see the man, Christ Jesus. He died for me. He chose me. He ordained me, and he ordained you. It's the greatest age of all of the ages. We're going to sing a song and let you go. It might be some weather outside. Harry, would you sing us a song? I just like it. He came looking for me. We'll sing a song or two. We let you go home. Sing it for us, Brother Harry.
One died while on life's raging sea. We looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the darkness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
He's going to sing that verse one more time, then I'm going to let you go. He came looking for you. I want to ask you why. Why, when me and my wife was in the denominations, I was a deacon, played the drums in the denominational church, and we were just happy, and I thought, and everything was well, and everything. I worked with this guy and his wife, and he was in the message, and his wife gave my wife a church age book, and they began, you know, Alice, what really happened in the Garden of Eden? Well, Adam, you know, and Eve sinned. No, really, what happened? She read pages 95 to 105 in the church age book and found out really what happened in the Garden of Eden. She took the church age book, could set it down. She began to tell me, and I said, oh, I don't need that stuff. I'm happy in the denomination. And so for about 6 months, we would argue every Sunday afternoon coming back from the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I said, well, if you like that, that's okay, but it's not for me. I wouldn't listen to tapes. She said, honey, why don't you just listen to a tape? I said, I don't have time to listen to a tape. She said, please just listen to one. I said, well, finally, 6 months later, I said, okay, it'll shut her up. I'll listen to a tape. So I sat down on a Sunday afternoon, I believe it was, and I listened to the life story. And I cried through the whole thing, and she cried through the whole thing. We got down to the end of the tape. She said, well, what do you think? I said, have you got any more? And that was back when we had the reel-to-reels, and we just got a few reel-to-reels. And the guy that brought me and my wife into the message, he just kept feeding us and kept feeding us and kept feeding us. We was getting the reel-to-reels, and then we got a whole list, and all the ones we could order. And I looked at that. Oh, my. I said, Future Home. Boy, that sounds like a good one. I want to order that one. God will just leave it late. Oh, let's order that one. I want that one. We ordered this. We was getting cabbages and all kinds of vegetables. Oh, man, we was getting about this big spiritually. And the guy, the brother and his wife that brought me and my wife into the message, about 2 years later, he said, well, William Branham was a good man, he's okay, but he was a good man, but we ain't promised no prophet. I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe it anymore. He and his wife, she cut her hair wearing breeches, still went back to the old denominational church, whatever. He said, I don't believe it anymore. He had about 200 of the reel-to-reels and about two big grocery bags of spoken word books. I said, what are you going to do with your stuff? He said, you want it? I said, I want it. He said, you can have it. Now I want to ask you a question. The man and his wife that brought me and my wife into the message, he don't serve the Lord now in the message. He was a carrier of the word. He wasn't the word, but he was a carrier of the word. But he had to believe it long enough to get me and my wife in the message. I say, God came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already peeked out my grave. His plan to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? This one is mine, I'm saved from all harm. He walked through the storm, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. Near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. I'm safe from all harm. He walked through the storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
You want to go home? Soon. We're going to be leaving this world. Soon we're going to be going home. Say, Brother Terry, how long? I don't know. But it's going to be soon. God bless you, saints. I've enjoyed the service tonight. We're going to pray. Let you be dismissed. Brother Harry will sing a song as we go. Be careful out on the highways. Cherish these moments. It won't always be this way. It won't always be this way. Can you imagine what happened? What will happen? What would happen? I don't know. You say, Brother Terry, I don't know how it's going to be. But scenario, maybe they close the doors, you know, and we're isolated, one or two families in a home. What, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and they block the satellites and your cell phones around. And you can't communicate. People die today. You can't communicate. You don't know where your loved one is. You don't know where brother or sister is. You're going to need him then. Say, well, where's the pastor? I don't know. I hadn't heard from him in weeks. Where's brother this, that? Where's brother so-and-so? I don't know. We don't have no communication. I don't know. You're going to need him then. It's going to be you and Christ then. You can't depend on your pastor's prayers. You're going to have to pray then. Don't wait till then to get in, because you got to get in now. But I'll tell you, I'll say this. There is a group that's standing before me that I believe will never face death, be raptured out of this earth. I believe that with all my heart. God bless you, saints. Here. Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride, the sing come. The elect are feeling the stir inside their heart. 'Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forever. Is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness that's not her own, she's just before His throne.